Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jay here from Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast. And joining me, as always, is my good friend and colleague, Mr. Joe Smith. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
We have had Pierre Barclays today, haven't we?
Yeah.
If Barclays was the World
Just
Cup.
Just one normal day of Budweiser.
What Budweiser? We've had pure Budweiser today, not the drink, the World Cup.
Yeah.
Because it has been peak.
Yeah.
A 3-all. This afternoon with, I've almost forgotten, was it Cameroon and Serbia? And then we've had Ghana and South Korea giving us another absolute belter of a game.
Yeah. What are we going to be talking about today?
Well, we're going to be talking about transfers and that.
Yeah.
And Ten Hag and his wish list, his Christmas wish list.
Yeah.
He's got obviously got signings that he'd want, signings that he'd been linked with. So we're going to be getting into all that. See Joe James John says, poor John Shin. Yeah. Have you seen this video?
Should we just start with that?
I think, right, because I feel like it's Christmas morning and I've got all my little presents and there's one big one at the back.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait. I can't have my little presents. In fact, even though producer Ethan's giving me a sign saying, no, we can't have John Shin or we can't have the video that water show.
We will in a minute, though.
We will in a minute,
so
yeah.
So John Shin, for anyone who doesn't know, is a contributor to the channel, friend of the show. He is he's an American South Korean.
He's got a South Korean family.
He supports South Korea.
Yeah.
And he was watching the game.
I hope he's in the chat. He usually gets in the chat, John. I hope he does.
He'll still be streaming. He was streaming live, doing a watch along for the game. And oh my God, is his reaction Korea's first and second goals the best thing ever.
Right. When United beat Paris in Paris, when Marcus scored that late penalty,
and Steve threw a chair on the floor.
Yeah, Steve threw a chair. Wherever you were, I'm sure, you know, wherever you guys were watching it, you all
was on the phone berserk.
I was at home and I just remember losing it. But John Shin, he celebrated that loudly that the police got called.
Is that true?
Yeah. He did a post-match review for us and he told us, I think there was a video or a photo of it. The police came out of his house because he was screaming that much that they thought something was kicking off.
The thing is, Shin's got previous.
Shin's got previous for this sort of behaviour. Here's his reaction. This isn't the equaliser, by the way.
So at this point, Ghana are 2-0 up.
2-0 up, yeah.
This is just to make it 2-1.
Right.
Go on.
Right, so it's 2, like Joe said, 2-0. Korea, pull one back. And here's John Shin's reaction.
Jonathan! Let's go! Jonathan! We get one back! Let's go!
Screaming, we love to see.
Let's go!
That
means so much.
I absolutely love that guy. Look at him. Do you want the other one?
Have we got the equalising?
Yeah.
Can you send that as well if you haven't already?
Let me send. Sorry, producer Ethan.
So that was for 2-1. That wasn't. They were still a goal behind after that had gone in. In a minute, we get the goal and the footage for 2-2. Because if you think
I've sent that over to Ethan, in live producer.
Unfortunately, And I say unfortunately.
It's maybe weird, it's good, because
but we don't have the 3-2 reaction.
No, I don't want. I don't want to have a dig at him, or not have a dig at him, like mock him. He's obviously upset. But those were, you know, him being happy. I heard he was despondent, to say the least, when they lost. And I don't want to get that up, because I feel like that's not as celebratory. No.
We'll show the 2-2.
We'll show the 2-2. Just before we do that, Clayton M, who's been a member of the first team for 28 months, says, which way are you lads leaning? No signings, the Glazer fave or open checkbook to secure Champions League for higher selling price? In my opinion, one big name comes in. Right, so get that. You know, do you think there's going to be signings, or do you think there isn't going to be signings? Are the Glazers going to go, let's spend a bit of money, get into that Champions League space, which is what Kieran Maguire suggested. He didn't say that would happen. He just said it could.
Yeah.
They may look at it and go, if we are a club that's in the Champions League, we can sell it for more money than it would cost to get us into the Champions League.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Or do you think they go, we'll get loads of money anyway. It's not guaranteed that if we spend 100 million in January, we're going to make the Champions League. Why risk it?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Well, based on some of the rumours we've seen, and I think we've got a few players that we've been...
Yeah, we'll get into it in a minute.
But based on the rumours we've seen, I think even if you're just looking at it from a sort of net spend way, there is money to spend there now, surely. You know, Ronaldo has gone. That's not... you know, a question anymore. That has happened, he's left. So there is 17 million quid's worth of wages that is now free. So, you know, hopefully that means that we can spend that on some players or a player or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no excuse, there's no reason why we can't get anyone. That we have to sign someone minimum, and I do think we will. In terms of going all out, spending 100 million to guarantee top four, I don't think that'll happen. But I wouldn't be surprised if we spent between 40 and 70 million. I think we could well do that on one or two players.
I agree. Before we get into it, I can't wait. I'm sorry.
Go on.
Here's John Shin when South Korea equalised against Ghana earlier today.
Passing out.
Crying a bit.
Crying. He's gone. Fully gone. Fully gone. We've all been there, John. We have.
We can still do this.
There.
Like he's just got nothing bless him. To give,
we can still do this.
He's gone.
Everything he owns right there.
That's what.
Emotion wise.
I couldn't go back and watch the one where Ghana scored.
No.
I couldn't.
Sonny does well.
No.
Kim Jin-soo. Great cross, Chokyo.
That's the most you've lost it at a game.
I bring this up occasionally, but I don't know why. It just everyone just the equaliser against Chelsea in like 2014. Do you know where Fellaini heads it down?
Yeah.
Gets blocked on the line, and Van Persie just rattles it in to make it 1-1 at Old Trafford in like the 90th minute.
Yeah.
Everyone, for some reason, just around us. It was in the north stand as well, like quite high up. Yeah. So not your traditionally most sort of explosive stand in terms of reaction to things.
Yeah.
Oh no, easily, I've forgotten.
Go on.
I think it was either Carling Cup or the FA Cup away at Barnsley when Michael Owen scored. Do you know when United fans supposedly just smashed the concourse to bits and there's people hiding in fridges and stuff that were for Barnsley, hiding in the cupboards with all the bags of Bovril and that.
Yeah.
That was just the whole ground, well, the whole end was just ridiculous from start to finish. And when the goals went in, I think Michael Owen scored twice, and everyone was just like falling on top of it, like just almost faking it. Do you know what I mean? Because like it's a League Cup game against Barnsley, but that atmosphere was one of the best I've ever been part of. So
that's class. That's
half
decent,
time. Things really kicked off in the concourse. So supposedly, I don't know.
I think you're all a disgrace. You should all be locked up.
It was great. What's yours?
There's been a few over the years. The Mark Hughes equaliser for all against Oldham, in the 94 semi-final was a big one at Wembley. Ended up with a bloody nose from some guy hugging me a bit too excitedly, but it was all good. Do you know what? Berbatov's hat-trick was a big one. Yeah, you know, against the Scousers. Because we were all over him that game. Yeah. And we had that free kick with Gerrard. I think it was Darren Fletcher or someone, or I can't remember if it was Giggs, it might have been. I'm pretty sure it was Fletcher. Moved out of the way in the wall and it went in. And I remember being gutted. I thought, we're going to draw this. Yeah. And we've been much the better team. Do you know what I mean? And it felt like a loss. And then, you know, Gerrard kissing the camera again and all that. And it was just minging. And then for Berbatov to score the third, or his our third and his third, yeah. I lost it. Because my head had gone. You know when your head goes? Yeah. When you, like, if you're losing or you're drawing?
Yeah.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I was like, fuck this. I'm done with football, mate. I've had enough of it. Honestly, head's gone. Football. Like, my head had gone. Like, I lost it.
Was it 2011?
2010. Yeah, 2010, I think. Yeah. I think it might be 2000. It might be 2000. Yeah, around that time.
Yeah.
2010. And I was like, my head had gone. I was like, I've had enough. I was like, I was ready to leave. And it was like 40 minutes left or whatever. And I'm like, do you know what I mean? Like, and we're drawing. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm like, it's like,
it's just so unjust.
Yeah, like a league game. It was in like October or whatever. Yeah. And my head had, like, I'd gone. Like, I was, I fucking hate this. I hate them. I'm sick of this fucking, you know what I mean? Like, I've had enough of this. Like, and then when he scored, lost it, mate. Lost it. I think I celebrated from his goals to the final whistle. I don't think I stopped. It's just like, like constant. It was so, so mint. And it's weird because, like, I've obviously been to finals, I've seen us lift trophies, I've been to games where the league has been decided.
Yeah.
But for that, some reason, that one, it just got me. And I was just like, because I've been so low, and, you know, obviously we've been behind in finals and stuff, but at that point, I was like, oh, I've just had enough. My head had gone. And then when that went in, that Berbatov third.
Was that the bicycle kick, the third?
I can't remember. I don't know if that was the third. I can't remember. That's a weird thing, even though, to be honest with you, I can't remember if that was the second or third. I just remember he scoring third and just celebrating for the next 3 days.
I wasn't at the game, but watching the Champions League final in 2008, it was like a Man United pub in Worksop.
Yeah.
And that was one of them, because you were so certain that they'd won it. To know who was he? I can't remember. I've watched it back so many times, but I can't remember. Who was it who missed our penalty that meant that if Terry scored, they'd win?
The only penalty we missed was
Ronaldo. Yeah, of course. So Ronaldo missed the penalty, and then Terry's walking up, and it was literally just, well, they've won now.
Yeah.
People had walked out. People had,
that's
like,
what I did.
This, they'd gone.
Yeah.
Like, people walking down the street, and then everyone, just the scream when Terry missed, and everyone like running back in from outside.
Yeah. That's so mad you said that.
Yeah, and then obviously when Van der Sar saves an Elka one.
Yeah.
Just grabbing anyone. I was 15.
Yeah.
So, but you're just grabbing like 60-year-old blokes, jumping up and down, kissing each other on the cheek. Like, just one of them fucking just explosions, but not of the game, but that was a pretty good one.
That was mainly because it was a similar thing. Because all of us lot, my mate had got married in Cyprus in 2000, in like a week before the Champions League final. So we'd all be coming back to Manchester. That's why I didn't go, because it's like, I couldn't afford both, it was best man. So we got back to Manchester, and one of my mates, he landed like as the game was going on. So he got to the pub, we're all in my pub, in the local pub. And I, like you were saying to some people there, I think it was actually Cole scoring that sent me over the edge. And again, because I'm right mad ass, mate, when things are going wrong at football, honestly. Like, so I'd stormed off.
Yeah.
And I literally, again, football's done for me, I've had enough.
And this is, I mean, even now, I've never known you in your sort of drinking days.
Yeah.
But even now,
I was sober at the time.
Yeah. But at the Villarreal final, you were in the fucking stairwell, not watching it.
I don't watch penalties. And
like, you were round the corner, out the room.
I'm a bit more philosophical now than I used to be. Right. I can take it a little bit better than I used to. So stormed off, and all I can hear is cheering from the pub. So I know they've missed so I ran back. So I never saw John Terry's penalty at all.
Did you know he slipped over, though?
Everyone was told me. And I got back in time, and then it was Giggs scored, didn't he? Yeah. And then, was it Solomon Kalou scored for them?
Scores the last one for United? Is it? It's not Hargreaves, is it?
You know, it's not Nanny, is it? I can't remember.
Might be.
It's either Nanny or Giggs.
No, Anderson, Hargreaves,
Nanny
Giggs.
Scored. Michael Carrick scored.
Carrick.
Tevez obviously scored the first one.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then when Van der Sar saves an Alkers, the whole pub just went berserk.
Yeah.
Like, pint pots everywhere. And then we all drove that Old Trafford. And we're just... And I remember...
Who drove that
car? I drove, because I didn't drive. I didn't drink at the time. I'd gone through one of my stages of not drinking. Because I used to have these little fits and starts of not drinking. And I remember driving that Old Trafford, and we had the radio on, local radio, and this bloke rings up, he goes, Manchester United might have won the Premier League and they might have won the Champions League, but Manchester City have beaten them twice this season, so we're still the best team in Manchester. And the presenter literally went, mate, shut up.
Just cut him off. What the fuck are you about? How are you even pretending that that's the thing?
Like, City finished like 12 or something.
That's
like,
a United fan with a sense of humour that made like, that call.
Come on, and we got Old Trafford and everyone was there. Like, look, there was like, it felt like thousands, probably a few hundred, kicking balls about and all that, singing Viva Ronaldo when we used to love him. It was just mint, but yeah, that was a good one.
Speaking of Cristiano Ronaldo,
go on.
We need to replace him, Jay.
Go on, right?
We've got
we
a list of people. Let's get some. We've got a few chats there first, maybe.
Yeah, should we get into some of the comments because we've asked loads of questions, then just ignore everyone.
Ten Hag's wish list for the winter, because different journalists from different places are sort of chipping in with some names, and we're starting to build what looks to be Ten Hag's wish list for this January transfer window. So we'll get to that in just a second.
Yeah, just because obviously we've asked a question about people going berserk at games, and so quite a few people are giving us their favourite one. You Mother Ducker says Vidic last minute versus Sunderland got slapped in the face celebrating. That was a good one. Ross Murphy says Casemiro late equaliser at the bridge. We were celebrating mad. Jacoya Trott says it wasn't a goal, but John Terry's slip in 08. I screamed my whole house down. I mean,
it felt like as soon as that had happened as well, maybe because I was only 15 or whatever, and it was like sort of youth. But it felt so certain United were going to win after that.
Yeah.
After at that point, my body and mind, we'd won it. You know what I mean? He missed it and you just knew they can't come back. Like, the captain pulling his fucking socks up, sorting out his captain's armband, all that, and then slipping. You knew it was done for him.
You know, he changed the order as well.
Love that.
He was meant to be. I think Kalou was the next up. It was Kalou when it wasn't Florence. It was Kalou. And he moved it. Terry, over Avram Grant's instructions, he's on how I'm going to go next. Because obviously he wanted to take the winning one and then fucking missed. Love it. I love everything about it. I love the fact that, was it Rio was pointing like the other way? Let's not go that way. So he did. And so he slips and misses. So poetic. Yeah. Everything, honestly, it was so, so good. Because we deserved to win that.
Yeah,
well.
We did. We were by far the best. They had that one chance up until like the 80th minute.
Yeah.
We had Giggs miss one.
Carrick miss one. Carrick cleared off the line.
Rooney had a good chance as well. Yeah. Ronaldo had another header as well.
That one that Carrick missed, where Rooney wins the ball back, plays that ball, I think, to Ronnie. I can't remember, might have been Tevez. And then that would have been one of the greatest goals ever.
I know.
Of like, that pass off,
from Rooney.
Rooney. It was just unreal. Just phenomenal.
He was 23 then.
Sick. I'm pretty sure he was. I think you're right.
23, yeah.
Fat Thor, his words, not mine. In fact, sorry, just before I get to that, Andy Likes Stuff channel says, 99 final, me and my brothers and a few mates in the pub losing our minds because the game was bad, and then at the very end of us winning, it was a riot. Yeah, I was on the floor still celebrating Sheringham's goal when Ollie scored in the pub. I thought, I was out of my head, and I thought, yeah, Ollie didn't score the first one. Ollie didn't score, did he? You know, we've won it.
Nowhere near it. Yards behind it.
Honestly. And then there's a point in your life where you can't celebrate anymore. You can't go any more berserk.
What do shit myself?
Like my mate as well.
Just drain all my blood out of my body and set it on fire. That's the next level of celebrating after what I'm doing currently.
When Sheringham scored, we were still behind his table. And my mates, Mrs. and that, her mates were sat over there. And my mate just threw the table and they covered them all in beer and glass and everything.
Covered them in glass, hitting the legs really hard with the table. Just a shit thing to do, but exactly what you need, isn't it? Just fuck it, I'm flipping this table. He probably wanted to flip that table from the start of the game as well.
Honestly.
Any excuse, I'm flipping this.
Jay, I'm going to get into this comment and then we've got something else to talk about. Fat Thor says, Jay, I read a rumour about Memphis on a short-term deal. If he's returning as a more mature player, you think it might be a good move or enough of the old boys after the recent Ole and CR fiascos?
Mm. I love that. Returned as a mature player, like a mature student at uni. You can get a master's grant because he's already done his undergrad at United. Yeah. So we can get him on a second loan.
Fine, yeah.
We've got Depay on the list. We're going to come
we'll
to
get to Memphis Depay in a minute. First of all, Joe wants to talk to you about something.
Yeah, it's never too early to play holiday music, Jay.
Very true.
Did you know that?
I didn't, but I agree with that.
And it's never too early to start thinking about Christmas gifts.
Right.
Whether it's for a friend or the friends in your pants, you can make this season jolly with Manscaped. You like Manscaped, don't you, Jay? What is Manscaped for those who don't know?
Manscaped is the pinnacle of male grooming, right? If you want to look after your jingle balls, then you need to get a bit of Manscaped. As it says here on this thing that I'm not reading, do your little drummer boy a favour and use the lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom.
Is yours like a little drummer boy? Is yours, mine's more sort of Keith Moon, just flapping and whacking all over the place.
Keith Moon, yeah. The former Who drummer?
Yeah, just carnage down there. Like Animal from Muppets. Little drummer boy. Far too tame. All you got to do is use the code. What code are we on? Devils20 for 20% off and free shipping. That is Devils20 for 20% off and free shipping. Go on, Jay, tell us more.
Right, because we've all been there, haven't we? It's, you know what I mean? It's Christmas. Can you help me put the tree up? Nah, joking. I can't, man, because I've got to go and shave me testicles and it takes ages. I ain't got time to do both.
You call it your man fanny, don't you?
My man fanny. My man. I can't come and put the tree up, babes. I've got to shave me man fanny. I don't want to hear about it. Just come on, get his tree up. Stop fucking him out. Right, so
it's
anyway.
It's really annoying as well, because in the past, the amount of different strimmers and trimmers that I've used to try and get this bad boy tamed.
I'm taking it down there, considering your face. I reckon down there is like Sherwood Forest.
Well, it used to be.
Right, okay.
And I've tried all sorts. I used to smother it in peanut butter, then have a sort of little army of guinea pigs. Yeah. Sort of...
Was that you I saw him?
Wincing through it all.
Hey.
Huh?
Is that you I saw in the pet shop?
That was me returning them. They won't eat anything, these lot. It's an ad hoc circumcision. That's all I've got from these. But no more. Because with Manscaped, you get the Lawnmower 4.0, which is literally the greatest pubic trimmer anyone, including myself, has ever used.
Do you know what I noticed here as well? They've upped the game. Because the game was already elite. But now, with the Platinum package, you also get the Performance package, which is your boxer briefs, it's your crop preserver, your crop toner, your anti-chafing boxers as well. Don't forget that technology that looks after you. Mm. But you also get the Ultra Premium body wash and the Ultra Premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner.
Yeah.
Plus the Ultra Premium deodorant.
And the brand new body buffer, an incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating easy. And it's a lot cleaner than that old bloody loofah. Nice. They got nicked from a Bernardo's, if I'm being honest. Second-hand shower goods.
Do they still have Bernardo's?
Oh, big time, big time.
Really?
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Because all you need to do is click the link in the description to go to manscaped.com and use code, as you can see there, where is it? Devils20 for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Get your jingle balls ready for the holidays.
Good stuff. Big thanks to Manscaped.
Love that.
Yeah, we're talking about Memphis Depay. We're going to get onto him in a minute. Who else have we got? We've got Jonathan David.
Yeah.
Florian Plettenberg, a friend of the channel. He's been on the channel a few times. He's been said that he's been scouted several times and he wants to make the next step. And we've been told that Lille would release him for around €50 million, which is pretty cheap in this day and age for a striker. You can use the word cheap.
It is.
Do you rate this kid, Jonathan David?
It's my thing with him. In you know, people like Steve, people across the Twitter sphere, tell you, you can't judge players. You can't, just because someone's had a good World Cup doesn't mean they're a great player. We get told that all the time. What if someone has a really underwhelming World Cup? Does that make them a bad player or not? Because to me, he looks a bit clunky. He's not. His touch isn't particularly great. He's a decent-ish finisher. The few chances I've seen him have in the air, he looks like someone who, you know, how sort of, you know, Rashford's looked in the past, where you look like someone that doesn't train headers.
Yeah.
Like he's got a seemingly quite bad timing in the air. But again, this is just based on two or three matches before the World Cup and the two matches that Canada have played so far. He looks okay. Stats-wise, he's improving every year. He's only young. He's 22 years old. He seems to be very much a sort of hot topic. Social media loves him. Do you know what I mean? If you just looked on Twitter, you would think he was one of the best players on the planet. And I, you know, based on what you see from the people I follow anyway. And yet when I see him play, when I see highlights, when I look at the stats, he's good, but he doesn't blow me away. He's not hitting the sort of numbers that, you know, Lacazette hit in the French league, or even Memphis hit before we signed him. Or, you know, it's a strange league, but he looks to be a decent player. But I'll be honest, I'm not blown away by him. What do you make of him?
I've only seen little, like little bits, like you were saying. I'm not seeing anything in the World Cup where I go, he's the answer to our problems. But I understand the argument that, you know, Harry Kane's not looked great in this World Cup, but he's a very good player and a very good striker.
Correct.
He bangs in goals for fun in the Premier League. So you wouldn't go, oh, well, he's crap because he's had a pretty poor World Cup so far.
Heung-min Son, another one.
Yeah, he's done nothing in this World Cup. Yeah, he's, you know, a very effective attacker. And then you look at, on the flip side, Richarlison, who's, you know, looking like the best player in the world.
Yeah.
He's all right in the Premier League. He's a good player, but he's not like, wow, you know, the sort of wow factor that we've seen for so far in his game for Brazil. So, yeah, I understand that argument. I remember Angelina Kelly, who's a friend of the channel, been on the channel loads of times, both as Devils and as Paddock. She was on Sky Sports and she was asked about a player that she thought could do a job at United, and Jonathan David was the one she went for. Yeah. Can I just ask you this? All right, we've lost Ronnie in January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you need a player to come in now.
Yeah.
Now, we've all said, me and you've said it, I've said it, I said it on the Twitter spaces the other week, that we're sick of these stopgaps. We're sick of the Igalos as Latans. I'm not meaning sick of, I love Zlatan, but I'm sick of these, like, Cavani's, Ronaldo.
Even coming
in for a year, 2 years, 18 months, whatever. And in the case of Igalo, what was it, 6 months? And then we have to go out and get another striker. But do you feel, is there any part of you that feels like in January, that might not be the worst idea? Because if you go out in January and you buy a 23-year-old who is all right and can do a job but isn't the long-term answer, then you're stuck with him.
Well, we signed, I think Igalo signed in the winter.
Yeah.
But we signed Cavani, Ronaldo and Zlatan. I'm pretty sure all in the summer.
No, you're right.
So they were stopgap for 1 year minimum.
Yeah.
Whereas we could literally sign someone. We've lost a striker midway through the season.
Yeah.
This isn't the same situation.
No.
We're in the same situation in that we need, you know, a number nine that can lead the line for, I'm not even going to say 10 years, because when's the last time United had any strikers lead the line for 10 years? Even the greatest strikers in United's history weren't at the club for 10 years, except Rooney.
Eric
wasn't. Ronaldo wasn't. I mean, Zlatan wasn't, Ruud van Nistelrooy wasn't. Like, it's very, very rare that great strikers lead the line for 10 years. But let's say 4 years. Do you know what I mean? Let's someone that could have, you know, the large majority of the 2020s at Manchester United. We definitely need that. But we've literally lost a player in November. And we only had one striker anyway. And Martial, who's still sort of proving himself. So I think of all the times to sign a stopgap, like you're sort of hinting at there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I've been guilty of advocating us not to sign a stopgap. But the more I think about it, I think, you know what? This could be the exception to that rule where you go, actually, if we did get in someone who could come in for 4 months, basically, or 5 months, that's not the end of the world. If we get someone, because my worry is, let's say we get Jonathan David, right? And I don't know. Please get involved in the comments and the chat if you know more about this kid.
Yeah.
I haven't watched a lot of Lille and I haven't watched a lot of Canada. He might be the answer. But let's say he's not, and we go out and we get him for 40-odd million quid or whatever, and you think, right, do you know what? We've got a player there who can beat United for the next 5 years at least.
Yeah.
And we have this player and we're sort of stuck with him for a bit, and we don't go out in the summer and get another striker. Well, we've got Jonathan David. We don't need anyone else. And Martial's injured or, you know, whatever, or Rashford's playing on the left, and we need someone to lead line. And we go, right, well, Jonathan David's the one we've got.
Yeah.
And you sort of, you're persevering with someone who isn't up to it. Where if you get someone in for 5 months or whatever,
he
might be 32, 33, or, you know, or not even that old, just, you know, just a short-term answer, then is that the end of the world if they're, you know, if they are just a short-term option? Because if that enables you then in the summer to go out and get the big striker or the big signing that you need, because, you know, this might be one of the signs, like you say, it is January. We have had this unexpected loss of Ronaldo. I don't think anyone saw it coming.
No.
You might have said, oh, you know, you didn't expect him to stick around or whatever, but we certainly didn't expect him to get sacked in December.
No.
Or November, sorry. So that was a bit of a turn up for the books. So, yeah, I just feel like it wouldn't be the end of the world if we did get someone in short term. Just on that though, quickly, one of the strikers who later became a midfielder when I was growing up, who banged in goals for Manchester United, 30 goals in a season. Guess who it was? First person since George Best to do it.
Brian McClair, by any chance?
It is Brian McClair. Wouldn't you love to ask him about that?
Oh, I'd love to chat to him.
On a stage?
Just be on stage with him, chatting to him, shooting the shit, chewing the fat.
Me, you, him, Macca, Steve.
Oh, that'd be great.
I know, you know where I love going as well.
Surely something like that could never happen.
Well,
where would it be in your mind?
Dublin. Oh. Dublin. There's a link in the chat. We're doing a live event the 30th of December. Me, Joe, Adam McCullough, Stephen Allison, and Brian McClair. talking about his 117 goals for Manchester United Football Club. It's going to be our first live event at Stretford Paddock. We're all mad excited, looking forward to it. If you can get down to Dublin on the 30th of December, come and join us. We'll have a reet laugh. It'll be mint.
Can't wait for that. Make sure you come check it out. Link is in the description as well for tickets if you want to buy those. Get that sorted.
Should we talk about, just on the striker thing, because I know we've got other positions, but let's just stick on strikers for a minute. Memphis Depay, we spoke about him earlier. Someone in the chat mentioned him. Now, when Memphis Depay arrived at United, he had a decent couple of months. I think he was player of the month in one of his first months.
Yeah.
But then his form fell off a cliff. I mean, he looked like someone who's just had the confidence hoovered out of him.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was almost, it was cringe to watch at times because he just looked gone. And then he went to Lyon, wasn't it? And then he did pretty well, got a move to Barca.
Yeah.
Have you seen enough of him since he left Old Trafford to convince him that that he's now the answer to Manchester United's problems?
No, I don't think he's got any better.
Right, okay.
I think he's just got older and the same. Like, he's just the same player as he was before, except now it's sort of accepted that he's a striker, but I don't think he's any better. He's not a great finisher. Again, almost similar to David, where you look at him and you think, because of how he wants to play, you would assume that he's really good on the ball, his dribbling's, but actually he's a bit clunky and he's a bit like knock it and run sometimes. You know what I mean? His touch isn't that good. His hold up play is not particularly great. He's decent at keeping the ball. He's a decent finisher now. You know, I'm not going to say he's a bad finisher. He's got 42 goals for the Netherlands. He's obviously not shit, but I just think he's like, he's just okay. And I don't, he would be a stopgap. Do you know what I mean? And it's, and
would
it's,
you, all right,
it's
then,
an
would
embarrassing
you have,
stop would
you,
as well.
No,
it's someone
so
that
you
would
have him. You would have him as a stopgap.
Because it's something, someone that we already said, you're not good enough. And then we're going, well, actually, you might be good enough for us because we're actually shit.
It's like that thing, and it means you spoke about this last year, where sort of United are here and Depay's here.
Yeah.
Depay's not moved.
No.
United have got to the point here where they go, now he's good enough again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hear you. Again, I've not seen loads of him, but when I have seen him, I've been very underwhelmed because he gets a lot of hype, Memphis Depay, because when he is on form, he looks good. He scores some good goals. He can be an exciting player. And, you know, his numbers, just looking at some of his numbers, I mean, he's had a couple of seasons in League One where he got over 20 goals.
Yeah.
He scored 12 goals in 28 La Liga games last season, which is a good return.
It is, but it's fine. It's a fine return.
Yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
Not. I don't.
You're playing
get,
for one of the most attacking, best teams in the league. I know they've not had a great.
I think
but
that's
like
just
a
about
League team.
Enough to go. That's decent.
Yeah.
Anything less than that, if you got say 10 or 9, you'd go not good enough. But those extra 3 goals,
12 goals in 28 games.
Right.
That's
It's a decent return. I'm not going to get overly excited about it.
Yeah.
I just think as well with Memphis, since he left, there's all these stories have come out how he turned up for training, gold Rolls Royce and all this sort of nonsense. And, you know, his attitude wasn't great or whatever. Now, sometimes I'm wary of using the word attitude of players because I think it gets banded around too much. But I just think some of the press treatment of him was over the top. Some of it was probably a little bit deserved because I think he had other stuff going on. He's singing stuff and he's whatever.
Yeah,
and
I'll be honest, like,
do you know what I mean? It was
just,
like, it seemed like he wasn't fully focused in a way that you'd want a Manchester United player to be. And I might be wrong on that front, but that's the sort of impression I got with some of the interviews you've seen with some of his former teammates.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to have changed his opinions or his way of life there. He still loves doing what he does and all that stuff. And I just think if he was to come back, he'd get hammered for it.
Yeah, he would. And this is what I said last time we spoke about him, is that some of it, you can say, and certain people like Marcus Rashford, his off-the-field stuff, people describe anything that's not football as a distraction.
Like Lee Dixon the other day, the absolute one.
Yeah, it's good that he's focused on his football.
Yes, because he was skipping training to go and deliver food to starving kids.
Yeah,
how it works.
He should be a misogynist dickhead and just fuck about, like, other people instead.
Yeah,
what's he doing? He's fucking helping people who are vulnerable have better lives. Like, that's okay. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, people describe things as off the pitch distractions, whether it's good or bad, right? And Memphis Depay, you can say all you want, well, players are allowed to have a life off the pitch. And yes, they are, but don't tell me he's not going to get tons of stick from every pundit, from every journalist in England, and possibly from his teammates as well, for turning up in a Rolls Royce dressed like a matador, releasing his new album or single or whatever it is that he did. Like, if you can say it's unjustified or not, he will get that criticism, and that will be an extra layer of pressure that he will have to deal with. And based on what we saw the first time round, I don't think he's particularly equipped to deal with that, because he seemed to lose confidence really quickly at United, and I think that was one of his biggest problems the first time.
Liam Ayres says, lads, at least acknowledge his lack of form coincided with his campaigning. This is the... I think you're talking about Marcus Rashford. That's not true. Marcus Rashford, at the peak, I remember he was having meetings with Boris Johnson to try and get the food things sorted out.
Yeah.
Was the same time he scored a hat-trick against Leipzig. That was like the same... was that week.
Yeah, it
so
was.
So when he was
the season before.
Yeah. When he was most involved in his campaigning, he scored over 20 goals that season.
Yeah.
Including some absolute worldies and some very important goals as well. So last season, it was winding all that down.
Yeah.
And that was his worst season for United.
Yeah, his worst season was 21-22. He did most of his campaign during the peak of COVID, yeah. Which is 2020, yeah. When he had, like you said, yeah. Sorry to repeat your point,
it's true.
Over 20 goals, it's over 10 assists. So, yeah,
because I remember we were covering it every week.
Yeah.
And it was like, he's meeting with Boris Johnson. He's mobilised the entire country to go and, you know, because when the government weren't doing it, he got all the other countries doing it, all the charities doing it, and schools and councils
and cafes and everything.
Cafes, yeah. And then in the end, Boris Johnson went, well, everyone's doing it without us, we better get on this, and did a massive U-turn. So whilst I've been critical of Marcus Rashford's form last season because it wasn't good enough, it wasn't the case of he was distracted with his campaigning, because the peak of his campaigning came in the season before. I agree with everything you're saying about Memphis Depay. Listen, someone in the chat, sorry, forgive me, I've missed who it was, said, you know, you trust in Ten Hag, and I get that, you know, if Ten Hag... Andrew McCann said, after trust Ten Hag, do you really think he would allow Memphis to act like a Premier League? I don't necessarily think he would, but even Ten Hag might underestimate the response that the press would give to Memphis.
And if he did sign him, I'm not going to be like, fuck Depay, I hate him. As soon as someone plays for Man United or is employed by Manchester United, I am on their side until proven otherwise. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If we signed Depay, I'd be like, right, how can this work? Let's see what he's going to bring to the squad. I trust Ten Hag. Something's going on here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like... oh, I hate Memphis, but I just, it doesn't make sense to me that. It doesn't make any sense. Gakpo, on the other hand, that does make a bit of sense.
Have we spoken about Gakpo? Because we've been speaking about it in the news. I've been on Verma in the Super Chat. So, as someone who's not in the UK, what was Marcus accused of for helping the kids? There was this stick to beat him with that, you know, he was distracted by, you know, sending out some tweets to help feed starving children.
Yeah,
it's just how we roll in the UK. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, his charity work and his him helping people.
I mean, I prefer the good old days when my heroes used to go out and drink 12 pints.
Yeah,
you know, and probably sleep with a prostitute and maybe get nicked. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That was the morning of the game,
just fighting people, doing sleeping pills and bottles of wine the night before games and that. You know, like football should be, like men should be. Just disrespecting everything and everyone around them, including themselves. Well, we've got someone who's actually looking after the country.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a go at him for it. No, I'll stick to standing up for Marcus Rashford, I think.
Gakpo.
Cody Gakpo. Numbers this season have been ludicrous. 17 goals, 18 assists in 31 games. That's like Kevin De Bruyne at Wolfsburg numbers.
Yep.
It's just astonishing so far. That's including 2 goals at the World Cup. Just been phenomenal, an absolute phenomenon this season. Probably alongside Haaland, although I would say above Haaland, and no, not in terms of his quality, but in terms of his form this season, probably the most informed player in Europe, I would say. I know the league's lower and yada, 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 but in terms of just his output,
he's ticking both boxes, isn't it? In the sense that he's having a good World Cup and he's having a good season.
Yeah, he's absolutely smashing it. And he's spoken about basically wanting to join United. Right. He wants to join us. Right. He's the sort of player I'd like to sign. And again, for some reason, I don't know how these things are worked out. Like, you can play for Napoli, be 30 years old, never won a trophy in your life, not won anything at international level, not done anything, and be worth £100 million. And then you can play for PSV Eindhoven, score shitloads of goals, look brilliant, be 22 years old, and be worth 40 million quid. Like, have you seen the... Yeah. It's still rumoured that he's going to be like 30 million quid, 40 right. million quid. How is he that cheap?
That is the biggest no-brainer in football.
Like, remember Koulibaly was 120 million quid, and you looked, he's like, oh, it must be early 20. 30!
Yeah.
And then I just don't get it.
It was mad, that, wasn't it? And we were linked with him forever.
Yeah, like Osimhen's another one.
Yeah.
How is he 120
million?
Well,
they paid a lot for him, though, didn't they?
They did.
They paid like 80. I know it's not, but they paid 70 million rising to 80.
Yeah.
So they're not going to take a loss on him or even split even. They want profit. So you're already talking silly money. I mean, Gakpo, you could spend 40 million quid on Gakpo, right? Could come to United in January. He could score 4 goals, be a bit of a flop,
yeah.
And you'd probably still sell him on for 40 million if you would.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because he'd be like, still young, still got a good record.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
you could do what you did with Memphis.
Yeah.
Get him for 40 million. He can be shit for 18 months. You still get 25 for him. Like, it's so low risk. Like, when you compare it to Antony, who has scored less, done less, been, I think he'd only been playing in Europe for 18 months.
Yeah.
And that cost us 100 million euros or 80 million euros, whatever it was. And I love Antony. I think he's been great. And I wouldn't, you know, I'm not saying it was a bad signing. But when you look at the fees named for these players, I don't quite understand how this can be this and one can be another.
Do you think it's
I'd be up for Gakpo.
The sort of the theory or the belief or the rating of the leagues? Do you think some
but
people...
Antony was the same league.
No, that's. I was going back to the Koulibaly one, but
Osimhen and
Koulibaly. You know, but you're right. I think with Antony though, I think that United just made it obvious we were willing to just pay whatever. Once we started losing those games and that Brentford game, I think United just basically just went to Ajax and just dropped our trousers and just said, "Listen, just whatever you can do, help us out."
Just put a bit of Vaseline on it first. That's all we said.
We'll pay whatever. Because that went from, like you're saying, that went from me and you stood here, there, talking about Antony for 38 million.
Yeah.
And then 3 months later, or whatever it was two months later. Yeah, it was 80. And then by the time we signed, it was 100. Do you know what I mean? It was like...
How much was it that we signed for in the end?
100 million euros, wasn't it? Thing is, though, I love that, mate.
I don't mind it.
I don't care, mate. I just love transfers. Bigger transfers, better. That's how it works. So I wanted him to be 100 million instead of 20, 30 million.
Yeah, because why spend that when you can make it more?
Also, if he's 100 million, it means he's good.
That's
his guarantee.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Look at Nunes at Liverpool. Absolutely smashing him in for jokes.
Yeah, look at
jokes.
Pulisic at Chelsea.
Exactly.
60 million quid well spent.
Yeah. Talking of Pulisic, should we talk about him?
Go on.
Because this came up in the summer, Joseph, and my whelm was definitely undered. Christian Pulisic, I know he had half a good game against United.
There's a key word in there that makes all of this go from impossible to just a bit weird.
Go on.
Loan. It's already highlighted. Ethan knows what I was going to say.
Yeah.
If we get a loan for him, I can see that. Because at the minute, United have got Jadon Sancho, who's massively out of form. We've got Rashford, who's playing every single week. We've got Antony, who's been injured.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's Elanga, who's been, again, massively out of form. And in terms of wingers, that's it.
Mm.
So we've got four wingers, two of which are massively out of form. One's been a bit injury prone this season. And the other one is playing every single week and probably should
get Garnacho as well.
Garnacho as well, obviously. But that's almost like a separate issue, isn't it? Where he's just at the start of his career. I wouldn't count him as like...
Fair enough.
You can play 40... Like, he couldn't... I wouldn't want him to play 30 games in a row should there be injuries.
No,
like
no.
So with the Elanga season. So we could probably do with another option on the wing.
Mm.
And I wouldn't pick Pulisic. Don't get me wrong. He's not the player I'd pick. But if we got him on a loan to the end of the season, I could see that as a rotation piece in the Europa League or as an option off the bench or something. I don't think he's that bad a player. I just think he's a bit average. But from a loan perspective, it's not the worst thing in the world, is it? You don't like
it. It just seems a bit of not even a sideways move to me. And also, is he an out-and-out winger?
Yeah. Doesn't he score? But then again, Chelsea's full of players like that. Do you know, like Havertz and Mount and Pulisic and Ziyech, where you're like, you're an attacker, but you score no goals.
That's what
like,
I mean.
Why are you being outscored by your own right back?
Right.
Like, that's not a good thing to say, is it, about basically all of Chelsea's forward line?
I mean, there's a story there that say that Chelsea won't consider a loan move. It would have to be a permanent deal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you look at it just for goals, in his first season at Chelsea, he scored 9 Premier League goals, which is very good. But then it's 4, 6, and 1 this season. That's not exciting me, that.
No.
That's not making me think, oh, we've had Chelsea over there getting hold of him. No wonder they're ready to get rid of him to United.
I know.
If he was any good, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would we sell them, Casemiro or someone, or Martinez? No, of course we wouldn't.
Or Antony.
Yeah, no, you'd be like, not a chance.
Yeah.
Whereas they're willing to do this because they think we don't need him, and if he goes there, he's not going to help them get above us in the table.
Yeah.
So that in itself should raise a red flag. Listen, as he always says, if he comes to United, I'll get behind him, but I'd rather he didn't, personally.
Yeah.
Right, who's your Wally of the Week?
Well, I'm just going to have a look on my phone because I want to get some quotes up. Do you want to do yours first?
Yeah, if you want.
Go on then, who's your Wally of the week?
I would like to say my Wallys of the week are... good shout though. Are all those people that voted for Matt Hancock in I'm a Celebrity?
Oh yeah.
He's redeemed himself now, has he, by eating camel's anus or whatever it was after sending thousands of pensioners to the deaths in care homes? But don't worry about it, because he's gone in the jungle and he's been alright, because he's done loads of tasks and that, and got his, you know, hands dirty with a load of bugs, so we forgive him. And he's paid 400k to do it during a cost of living crisis, isn't it? Yeah, it's like just we're in the middle of a cost of living crisis, and he's, you know, he's met to be in Parliament, and he's gone off to do this and had more money than most of us will see in our lifetime, and he gets a big pat on the back at the end of it. I just can't get me around it.
I can't find the exact quotes.
Go on, paraphrase.
Basically, Kevin De Bruyne.
Is this the old one? He said we're too old. Yeah. There's a... I tell you what...
Belgium, who are on their... Very much their sort of last roll of the dice with this so-called golden generation, aren't they? Lukaku, he might get one more World Cup out of him. But De Bruyne, people like Witzel, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, these kind of players where they're in their early to mid-30s, some of these players now.
Yeah.
And if they don't win this, they are going to have not won anything with this great team. And he's just saying, no chance, we're too old. I think our chance was 2018. They're still in it, by the way. Yeah. They're on 3 points. They're probably going to qualify from their group. We've lost too many key players. And there's another one he just said as well, we're just too old, we're shit.
Vertonghen find some shade back, though?
Yeah, but so Vertonghen said, we probably attacked badly because we're too old, right? After the Morocco game, basically having a little dig back at De Bruyne.
That's just what you need for dressing room harmony at a major tournament. Can I just say something, though?
Go on. Right.
Me and you were talking about Martinez the other week. We were going like, oh, you know, like off camera. Don't know really. A bit weird that he's got the Belgian job and how he's, you know, he ended up there and all this sort of stuff. He did all right at Wigan and not that great at Everton. And, you know, he's ended up managing one of the best sides in the world at international level. But I saw a lot of stuff on my timeline on socials yesterday, saying like he's wasted the golden generation and all that. I don't think he has, right? And hear me out.
Go on.
2018, was it the semis he got to and he got beat by France?
Yeah, because we played him in the third place game.
Now, I remember that France game where a lot of their big players didn't turn up. And that's not his fault. And I think like to lose to the winners in a semi-final, and if you look at the France team and the Belgian team,
The team was better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a bit harsh to say he wasted that generation. That golden generation. Let's not forget, when England had our golden generation, we got to the quarters at best.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then you go, oh, okay, on 2020. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Italy knock them out in the Euros?
I think so.
Like, obviously, the eventual winners. And also, by 2020, even some of those players from 2018 weren't about. And I also think there's a few Belgian players who flattered to deceive a little bit. Like Romelu Lukaku's record, right, his goal-scoring record, is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But in the big games, he goes missing. He just does. He's done it all. He did it at United. And he's done it for Belgium, where you need that match winner who can get you a goal in a semi-final. And he just turns to jelly. And I think that's a little bit... I feel like there's this whole narrative of Roberto Martinez has completely wasted this team. I feel a little bit harsh.
The problem with that is, and I see your point, but basically, let me just double-check the World Cup record. But basically, they've kind of done what England did in that golden generation, that sort of 2004 to 2010 era, where... Yes, they've got to some decent spots, but they don't beat good teams. And it's a real issue that they have. Because if you look in the Euros, so in 2016, they...
Because they beat...
But in 2016...
They beat Brazil, didn't they, in the World Cup?
Yeah, but that's pretty much it. So in 2016, they lost to Italy. They lost in the group. They beat Ireland. They beat Sweden. They beat Hungary. Then they lost to Wales. Got knocked out by Wales.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then in the next one, they beat Russia.
Yeah.
They beat Denmark, which again, decent. Yeah. They beat Finland. Wow, cool. Then they beat Portugal, which is, again, the one where you go, But then they lost to Italy. So it's one of them where it's like they can't string wins against top teams together. Yeah. And the thing with Martinez is...
Because I'm not his biggest fan. I just thought, when I looked at it, and I thought...
But then there's part of you that thinks, why have they allowed him to manage this team? Because he got sacked by Everton. He took over from Everton after David Moyes was finishing like 7th, 8th, 9th, 5th for Everton. Like, in that bracket every single year for a decade. Then Martinez goes there, spends 3 years there, takes him to 12th and gets sacked, and then gets the Belgium job. That is a bonkers.
Was he? When did he get beat? When did he lose to Wales? Sorry.
Was he not there in 2016?
I think it was Wilmots. I think he took over. Yeah. So
either way, that gold generation is just talking about how they've failed, and he's obviously.
And also, I was looking into it yesterday. I think under Wilmots they were a disaster.
Yeah, they were.
And like he came into that.
I wonder what that is. So
I kind of get it. It's not like he's shone, but I just feel like he's actually done all right. And I think this whole thing.
Finals though.
This thing though. Like he's wasted this, and it's been a disaster. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little bit harsh to me.
Yeah, because also you got to remember is. Look at all the other teams having golden generations at the same time. Like Argentina wasted their golden generation as well by winning one Copa America with Lionel Messi, Higuain, Aguero, fucking Di Maria. Since Messi came into that squad, players like Cambiasso, Zanetti, Mascherano, fucking Lavezzi, Di Maria, Aguero, Higuain, some of the greatest attackers and players in the history of football won nothing. Like, Spain have had so many good players over the last 10 years, won nothing since they last won the World Cup. Like, you're competing with a so-called English golden generation now. You're competing with this Brazil team that is astonishing.
What's considered our golden generation, though, was the Rio, Terry.
Yeah, people are calling this
another one. Wayne Rooney, that generation. And they didn't get to a semi,
did
they?
Nothing either.
Nothing.
So there's always teams having golden generations. And France, you've got to beat them now as well. And Italy have this unbelievable run. So not everyone can capitalise on having good players all the time. But
I'm not his biggest fan.
We're just too old and we're shit.
That is funny, I can see why you're giving him Wally in a week. Yeah. Right, listen, we're going to wrap it up there. Oh, with John Sheen has just popped up.
Here he is.
John, if you've missed it, we had your videos of you celebrating your goals.
We didn't do that.
Let's just do one. John is in the chat. Should we have the equaliser?
Yeah.
Just to remind you. This is to remind you, John, of happier times when you equalised, South Korea equalised against Ghana.
So this is... one thing I noticed is he took the glasses off straight away for the second goal. Because for the first goal, he was sort of struggling with them a bit. Like, they kept falling off and he kept putting them back on. But for the second one, he just thought, fuck it, glasses straight off.
Oh, do you know what?
I love it.
As far as we're concerned, you drew. Yeah. We're doing a Jose Mourinho against Hull. We're not counting Ghana's third goal.
No.
So well done. John, absolute legend. Bless him. This is what the World Cup does to us.
Hey.
This will be us against Wales on tomorrow.
Yeah. When we get it back to 4-1. Rashford scores to make it 4-1 to Wales. England are back through. We're fucking pounding the desk with our shirts off. Only to be crushed by a late Robson Carney.
Well done, John. You absolute legend. Three of my favourite videos now on the internet are featuring John Sheen. We have got merchandise available as well. Go and check out paddockmerch.com. We've got some very... exciting Lissandro
Miners.
Yeah, Garnacho Miners stuff, Christmas stuff.
Ten Hag. Fernandes, Rashford. Come on, it's all there.
There you can see. Paddockmerch.com. Go and check them out. Don't forget as well, if you can get down to Dublin for the 30th of December, we'd love to see you there for our live event with all four of us and Brian McClare. Joe, where can people find you?
Joe Smith 93. We've got another episode of Sloppy Joe's podcast coming out tomorrow as well, so make sure you check that out.
Good. And me and Scotty will be back later on tonight with Scotty and Marty with a special guest, so make sure you check that out. Don't forget though as well to subscribe to this channel. We want to get to 700,000 subscribers by, well, just as quickly as possible, really, hopefully by the end of the week. Seems doable. So make sure you are hitting like, share, and subscribe. That's been Joe. I've been Jay. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.